Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Where are you getting that kind of a deal these days? Boston Pizza. Stan Riccio and Satyar Shah as Canucks get through locker room day at Rogers Arena. And a lot of disappointment around the rink today, Sat, as there should be, given there were much higher expectations going into this season.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, the hope had been to build on last year, and we talked about this yesterday. It was a beautiful sunny day in Vancouver, and that's how the playoffs began last year. And there was a buzz in the city, and that was absent today. And yeah, you know, we've had a chance to speak to a number of Canuck players, and we're going to play some of these interviews coming up, and you know, a guy like Jake DeBrusk talks about that too. But you can tell that there is disappointment that this season is ending just when the playoffs are beginning.
It kind of encapsulates just how difficult this season has been. And, you know, we're going to talk to Marcus Pettersson, Jake DeBrusk, Kevin Lankinen, Dakota Joshua, and Elias Pettersson. Those are some of the interviews we collected here today during Locker Cleanout Day. But generally, a disappointed atmosphere at Rogers Arena, as you would expect, given where this season went. Let's get to the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And really, the latest kind of is that Rick Tocchet hasn't made a decision on his future just yet. Mm-hmm. But he did speak with media today and did have a lot to say about the summer and where he could see things going for next year. So it does feel like that is going to happen, even if it is not yet official. Can't be official until it's official, but it feels like it's headed in that direction.
Yeah, and until it's official, you can't say for sure he's going to come back, but he's continuing the same posture he's had now for weeks, where he's talking and acting as if he's coming back.
Yeah.
And what was most telling was how in-depth he got into discussions about his staff,
yeah,
and adding to his staff and who may stay or who may go on his staff and what they need out of the guys and what they did or didn't do well and what they have to improve. And that to me did not sound like a head coach who is not coming back. And again, he said he has to go through the process, and until you come back, anything can happen. Like, what if upon reflection he just said, I don't want to do this? Like,
yeah,
you never know, right? But to me, the way he answered the question about his staff is a guy who's already thought very much about what it's going to look like next season.
He said, not sure the part-time thing works all the time, which would allude to Sergei Gonchar, who's been a part-time assistant coach with the Vancouver Canucks. He's here some days, he's here not here other days, so maybe that's something that Tocchet is thinking about as he at least starts to go through the process of what it would look like, even if it's not guaranteed his future in Vancouver.
Yeah, and it was telling, there was accountability, right? Like, Talk spoke about how there are moments that he's looking back at and will reflect upon further where maybe he could have done something different and perhaps that could have changed certain things.
Going all the way back to training camp.
Yeah, so he was honest about, hey, maybe there are things that we could have done better as well. And it was interesting about the notion about buy-in, mm-hmm, with the staff and whether they got enough buy-in or not towards the end of the season, and the whole idea of that the team embraced it hard. And he said, you know, in a roundabout way, he came around and said, I wouldn't give a good grade on that, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't really embrace the heart the way they wanted. And I think that's very telling about how they played late in games, how many leads they lost, how they had a hard time coming back from deficits in the third period. Only had, what, one or two all year where they came back to win a game in the third. And the OT record. You know, like, there were a lot of things where this team wasn't able to persevere in moments in games. And I like the fact that he spoke about that and the fact that, you know, there are things that they probably have to do better as a staff, because we can sit here and talk about we want Tocchet back and we think he is the right coach, but that's not to live under the illusion that he's perfect or there aren't things that he can't improve and the staff can't improve. And I think when you have a year like this and there's so many things lagging, you have to take a real honest approach at what you did well and what you didn't do well.
I think the juiciest parts of the Tocchet avail came when discussing
JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, or Elias Pettersson, I should say. And, you know, there was a lot of references towards the off-ice issues today. No player was really willing to go in too far into detail other than just acknowledging that there was a lot that was going on, and it made it difficult at times. Tyler Myers even said he thought the club handled it well, all things considered of how things were going. But what Tockett said about that and how it played an effect into the season, they tried everything to make it work and get it back on track, even hinted at podcasts and their suggestions of what could be done to help solve the situation. And they tried everything, but it just wasn't going to work, and that's why they had to move on.
I know. It's one of those things that we know, we see it too when people text in. They're like, well, why don't they simply go out for dinner and talk this out and hash this out? It's like, and talks like, well, you don't think we tried? Trust me, everything you talk about and you have suggested, we have tried and gone above and beyond anything you could have imagined. And that's generally, like, it's funny because we think about these things from the outside because we don't see everything that happens. We're not privy to all the details. Hey, and like Jim Benning would tell us,
it'd be nice to be a fly on the wall, but yeah. You know, no reporters in the room all the time.
No, so. But Jim Benning, you know, reminded us a few years back that we do not have all the information. So we operate under the guise of not having all the information, right? But it's not like they didn't try to do things. Like, it's even the same thing with Pettersson, or even the same thing for young guys struggling. People are like, well, why don't they get the guy to do this? Like, well, they try all those things, you know? And there are some organizations that don't try everything. But I think what Tockett is trying to get across here is that we are serious people. We're a serious staff. Like, we take this very seriously. We're trying very hard to get the most out of players, and we're doing everything humanly possible to do this. And he spoke about how many meetings they had this year and how hard they worked with certain guys. So I don't think it was from a lack of effort. It's just, can you find better ways to get through to some guys next year?
And ultimately, the player they need to get through the most to is Elias Pettersson. Mm. Who was one of the big storylines going into today. Tockett did not mince words about Pettersson's off-season preparation, how that needs to change. Whatever he was doing wasn't working, and he needs to train differently this summer. And he wants to be able to help Pettersson, and he wants to be able to help construct that plan. He's got to meet him at the 50-yard line, though. Not the 75-yard line.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And, you know, he has to meet them halfway, right? And he didn't say anything about PD that he hasn't said before.
Nope.
He maybe got into more detail about what he expects off-season-wise and what they have or haven't seen or what they know and don't know. And I think the most telling thing was, we don't know what he exactly does. And that's not to say that he doesn't do anything. Right, it's more like, you know, we need to know more about what you're actually doing, and how about, you know, follow what, you know, do the things we're asking you to do, right? And I think those were things that were pretty telling about, okay, so what's going on and what should happen. But
well, the difference in the way he talks about Quinn's off-season preparation and Pettersson's off-season preparation, stark contrast there.
Yeah, and it's fascinating, right? Because on PD, and we see this a lot, people are like, how can you sign a player to this contract when preparation's an issue? I don't think it had been an issue until this offseason.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that he couldn't work harder or he couldn't do more, and maybe he has to push himself even farther to be a great player. All those things, you know, may have still stood and been true. But I don't think there was ever concern about his preparation, because they would not have signed him to that contract.
Yeah.
And I think what had everyone so surprised was how this entire offseason unfolded. Now, Pettersson today mentioned, too, that it was due to injury last year. He couldn't train the way he wanted, and he said all the right things we'll get to about what he wants to do this offseason here to get to the pace he needs to get to. But this is a surprise to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, Pettersson, one of the things we admired about him early on was how hard he worked.
His drive.
And, you know,
you don't get to be a 100-point player without some kind of drive.
No, and I remember Botch had this great story about, you know, coming to the NHL that offseason, his final year in Sweden before he came over, and how he broke his shot down into like 10 different elements and built it back up meticulously throughout an offseason, and worked on his game and worked on so many different things. So this is a guy who, you don't get to the level Pettersson got to without working hard or being prepared.
Yeah.
So it's like, get back to that and then go above and beyond. And I think for whatever reason, there was a step back last year, and at least stagnation. And it's pretty clear what Tok wants to see. But it was telling that Tok said he balks at the notion that Pedersen's not a Tocket guy. Like, he wants to have him around.
Yeah, he wants to have him around. And, you know, he thinks he can win with Elias Pettersson.
Well, that's what he said. He's a great kid. He's shy. They want him to maybe come out of his shell a bit more. But, you know, he said he thinks he can win with him. I mean, and maybe it's lip service, but he did put it on record and say it.
Tocket knows how good of a player Elias Pettersson can be. But when a player isn't reaching that potential or is coming short of their potential, and it's because of preparedness or other reasons, that can be frustrating. I think that's understandable. There is a little bit of a disappointed parent vibe when you hear Tocket talk about Elias Pettersson. And I think that's normal with the way that things have gone this year. You shouldn't be... It is strange to be talking about a 26-year-old player who's got one of the five biggest contracts in the National Hockey League in this manner, but that's where we currently find ourselves, and Pettersson has to find his way back to what he was prior to signing the contract. The other part that was a little bit more illuminating on the Elias Pettersson front was how Tocket really focused on Petey needing to be more of a leader in the room. And he knows that he's a bit of a shy guy, but if you're wearing a letter on your chest, you know, you've got to be taking on that role in a bigger way than he has in the past.
Yeah, and Tok mentioned that he's a guy who's evolving as a player and a person, has to continue to evolve. He's essentially saying we need him to get a voice and come out of his shell.
Yeah.
And that it's part of you growing as a human being doing that. And that doesn't mean that you have to be vocal all the time. Some of the best leaders in the game have been kind of quiet, lead by example guys, but they still speak when the time is necessary. Joe Sakic, even Marcus Naslund here, the Sedins, for instance, right? Like, go through the list, Niklas Lidström with the Red Wings. I mean, guys that generally led by example more, but they still knew moments where they had to speak up, and they understood the role they had as leaders off ice, that, hey, you're the guy that, you know, gets groups of players together. You take somebody under your wing. You lead by example.
Quinn's inviting players to his summer training in Michigan this year.
Yeah.
And teammates.
And doesn't even have to be stuff like that. Like, literally, hey, you want to go play five pin bowling, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, just be more present.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't mean you have to go out there and be this different personality, but you need to be part of the group more in that sense. And, you know, he's been kind of known as a lone wolf in that sense. And not that, you know, that it's a bad thing, but a guy that generally keeps to himself. But you can't be a guy that keeps to himself and be a leader.
Yeah. And also, if you're wearing a letter on your chest and there's a feeling that you came into the season unprepared, that's not going to go over well with teammates either. Which I think is understandable, and this year has to be a big learning lesson. And Pettersson, you know, he said what you wanted him to say, I guess, today.
He even blamed his parents for his genes.
It's a little bit much.
He mentions, I'm not the strongest guy, you know, and it's hard for him to gain strength, and didn't get the best genetics. I'm like, you're a National Hockey League player.
Yeah.
Poor parent. What else do you want from your parents?
Man, you are a professional athlete with a top five contract in the National Hockey League. You know, take advantage of the extra month that he's got to train this summer. I think, you know, one of the things you could say as part of the reasoning for Pettersson maybe not coming in prepared, that was the shortest offseason he's experienced as a professional hockey player, given they went deeper into the playoffs than they ever had before, and you don't get that extra month to, you know, you got time to rest and recuperate, then you still got May, June, July, and August to prepare yourself for the next season.
Yeah, and you know what, like, how much of it was, hey, I don't care, or maybe being naive?
It's probably, I don't want to think that the I don't care thing really factors in too much.
Because that's what rubs people the wrong way. It's like, they think that this player does not care. Now, none of us are in his head. None of us can sit there and speak for him, right? And I know the actions haven't spoken loudly in a positive way. But is it, what's the root of the reason? Is it like he thought, hey, genuinely thought, I've had a bad knee, the best thing for me is rest? Mm-hmm. It's been a tough year. I'm just going to rest and take it easy and chill, and that's going to be the best thing for me this year. I'm going to prioritize rest, and then I'll come to the season feeling healthier and work my way from that point. Maybe he was naive in that sense, thinking that the rest without the extra hard workout was going to prepare him for the season, because maybe he felt better physically as in terms of like health-wise, but didn't have the power and the strength and the pace he needed to have the success that he required coming off of a short offseason and a longer campaign, right? Where you lose so much strength over the course of a season, and he wasn't able to gain that back. Was it just being naive? Which I hope it is, because mm-hmm. if it is, it's like that's correctable. It's like, yeah, you made a mistake. I read the situation wrongly and poorly. I'll do better. If it's kind of like, yeah, I got my contract. I don't really care anymore. That's the alarm one, right?
There could be an understandable part of that where it's like, I got my contract. I've been working so hard for this for my entire career, and you let your foot off the gas a little bit after you mm-hmm. reach this like huge career goal and set yourself up for life with the contract that you just signed, essentially. So I can understand that being a part of it. Bottom line is, he's got an offseason to figure it out.
And he's got to be better. There's no doubt. Like, he's got to work harder. And did you get the sense, though, that he's earnest and he's going to?
It's hard to tell with Elias.
And now he said he's going to stay here longer before flying back to Sweden.
Yeah. And so there is part of that. I think there needs to be more communication on what he's doing this offseason, how he's going to get there. Quinn Hughes was asked about it, and he essentially said, like, every guy's got to take their own training to where they want to take their training to.
You know, Quinn took zero bait today.
Yeah.
None.
He was not taking any bait. The captain was leaving it there. For everybody to just want more, but he
said all teammates. He talked about it. He even said, "Hey, we have to work harder. Guys have to evolve and get better."
Yeah.
And he said, "Everyone, not just PD, not just this guy, everyone."
Yeah. But people are going to connect the dots, however they do so choose. The final thing I want to get to here in the open is Thatcher Demko, and. You know, Demko didn't say a lot today, but he is happy to have or excited about having a healthy start to the off season, and he can really get the training that he needs and prepare himself for next year, where last year he couldn't. It was a mental and physical toll that the injury took on him. He didn't know what was going on with his body, what injury he had, and he couldn't train because of it. So now he's able to get a proper offseason in and prepare himself for a massive contract year, and also put it on record that he very much would like to remain a Vancouver Canuck should that opportunity be available.
Yeah, and he was pretty, unequivocal about his desire to stay. Says, Vancouver, he's always wanted to be a Canuck, wants to be here. That's a team he came up with and would love to get an extension done. And didn't mention that, with everything that Lankinen's done and the fact he signed a contract, that does not dissuade him at all give him or hurt his desire in any way, shape, or form to come back and play with the Canucks. And I think we should take him at his word. Because usually when – and listen, you can always get in trouble reading between the lines and assuming things. But generally when a player is on the fence a bit more or perhaps doesn't have a desire to stay, they answer it a bit more like, hey, you know what? Obviously, this is a team that drafted me, but I'm just focused on the offseason.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I'm just focused on trying to be healthy. You know what I mean? Like – the way he answered it was he kind of planted a flag and was pretty clear that, hey, I want to stay here. I don't care that Lankinen signed. I'm happy for him, and I want to sign a contract. That was what he stated pretty unequivocally today, at least.
He hopes that his agent and Patrick will get to talking and see what's there. I would say, some of this, the idea of a Demko extension, like what he's worth today coming off this season, might not line up with where he imagined his next contract would be. I think that's fair, and everybody should be able to understand that. Like,
so
he's making $5 million right now. Yeah. I think I'd say $6 million would be nice to sign him for if you're the Canucks.
Oh
but
yeah,
if you're,
I don't think
if you're right. looking for if he's looking to hit a Jake Oettinger type contract. Well, to me, you got to put something on paper next year if you're gonna.
Yeah,
get something like that.
I don't think there's any way he signs for $6 million, though.
I know.
There's no way. But also, like, I think...
That's why I don't really see an extension happening this summer.
Well, I could still, because...
It feels a little bit like the Besser situation last year.
Kind of. I think the term is the big one here.
Right.
Like, I think the AAV is going to be what it's going to be. You know, like, I think it's kind of like you look at what Allmark got. Mm-hmm. Was a 4-year, 5-year deal, $8.5 million. Big AAV, but it's like a 4 or 5 year deal. I wonder if that's going to be something that at least is broached. Now, I'm not sure what the Canucks' desire is to sign that. I'm not sure what Demko wants, but I think to your point, it's completely unrealistic for Demko to get a 7-8 year deal this offseason.
Yeah.
At $8 million per season or more. I can see him getting close to $8 million, mm-hmm. but the term would be shorter.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I think if, you know, for him to be able to get that big, you know, Jake Ottinger type contract or Jeremy Swayman type contract, to me, he's got to put a full season together.
Yeah. Now, here's the other part. So he made his desire very clear. Mm-hmm. Are the Canucks interested in signing him to an extension? Like, I could see him, okay, like, realistically, he would accept an Allmark type deal, 4 or 5 year deal, right?
The way I view it is the Canucks want to keep avenues open mm-hmm. because they have few pathways to upgrading the forward group.
I think that's part of it. That's number one for sure. And then the other one is, how confident do you think they are in committing to him? Even if it is a 4-year deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a valid point.
I don't know the answer to that from Vancouver's perspective.
Like, if you think about it, let's say, you know, 4 years, $8 million per, you're committing $12.5 million to goaltending with the way that the cap is headed. It's not a huge number.
No, it's going to be about, so with
but
the
it's
cap
a little bit above 10% of the cap, which is
yeah, but
more than most teams spend on their goaltending.
But in 2 years, when the cap goes to $113 million, and let's say all things are equal and we get there,
then it'll be below 10% of the cap.
So I think the way I'm looking at a lot of the Canucks contracts this year and next year even is like, I don't really care too much about how close they are to the cap. Mm-hmm. It's about the big picture in a year or two where you're going to be at. Because in a year or two, like, you're going to be in a fine spot. Like, I'm not worried about what it's going to look like in a year or two. It's more about getting through the next couple of years to figure it out. Like, Demko's got the deal signed already, right? But, you know, you're looking at a Hughes extension as well. You're looking at Demko one. But I think with the cap going up, I would be okay with allocating 10% of the cap to goaltending.
Yeah.
But am I comfortable in doing so with Demko? Like, from a talent perspective, no doubt. From potential perspective, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I'm just not sure this organization, after giving Lankanen that contract, especially before, to your point, that Demko can prove he's healthy, that you can be comfortable in giving him that type of contract right now. So, you know, to that point, Demko made that desire mm-hmm. clear. But is that going to be something that gets reciprocated?
It's one of the off-season questions we will be focused on throughout the summer here on Canuck Central. Quickly in the Canuck Central roundup, just a couple of things. Brock Besser said Vancouver feels like home. If this is it, he'll sure be back a lot, given, you know, his partner is from Vancouver, so he's going to spend a lot of time here regardless in Vancouver.
So one way or another, he's going to be in Vancouver.
Yeah. One way or another, that is going to happen. Kevin Lankinen, who you'll hear a little bit later on, did mention that he's got a little bit of an injury and is not going to the World Hockey Championships. Connor Garland wouldn't go into detail of, you know, what it would take to get him on a new contract. He's eligible for an extension this summer, said that's something for his agent and the team to talk about, and he will be going to the World Hockey Championships. We'll get to more of this. You'll also hear from Rick Tocchet a little bit later on in the program as well. But coming up next, Jake DeBrusk and Marcus Pettersson here on Canuck Central.